You probably noticed a new face in the sanctuary this morning, so I'd like to welcome our seminarian who'll be with us for the months of June and July. His name is Mr. Michael Vidrine. Michael just finished his first year of theology at Notre Dame Seminary in New Orleans, and is a native of Palmetto and a member of St. John's Church in Melville. So welcome to Queen of All Saints, Michael. Glad to have you with us. He'll introduce himself further at the conclusion of Mass. As they have since the days of Jesus, the Jewish people this weekend are celebrating the Feast of Shavuot. The Feast of Shavuot, which means in English, the Feast of Weeks. It's counting 7 weeks from the Feast of Passover until today. The Feast of Shavuot commemorates the giving of the Torah, that is, the Law, the first 5 books of the Old Testament, to Moses and to the Hebrew people on Mount Sinai. In particular, they're rejoicing and celebrating the giving of the Ten Commandments. It was a day that God pledged himself to his chosen people, and his chosen people, the Israelites, did likewise, thus forming a perpetual covenant. As the Lord said to them, "I will be your God, and you'll be my people." To which the Israelites responded, "We will be your people, and you, O God, will be our God." And from that day on, the Israelite people served, worshipped, and obeyed the one true God, following all the customs, rituals, and commandments that he gave them. God reminded the Israelites that they were to be a different nation from the rest. They were to be obedient to him and follow his ways, and thus they were to be a light unto the nations. In the days of Christ, Shavuot was one of the major pilgrimage holy days, along with Passover and Rosh Hashanah, followed by Yom Kippur. We all know about Passover, and Rosh Hashanah is the new year, and Yom Kippur the Day of Atonement, which takes place in the fall, usually in September. This is a time when the Jewish people went to the temple in Jerusalem to give thanks to God for the gift of the Torah, for the law, and also to celebrate the wheat harvest. They celebrated the wheat harvest's conclusion by offering 2 loaves of bread. So they offered 2 loaves of bread in the temple, honoring the conclusion of the grain harvest, and also celebrated the coming of the first fruits of early summer. So in thanksgiving for those first fruits of the early summer, they offered 7 species of fruits and vegetables of which the land of Israel is praised. They brought to the temple gifts of wheat, gifts of barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, and dates. Part of this festival was also a visit to pray at the tomb of King David, whom the Jewish tradition says died on the Feast of Shavuot. Now, why is all this significant? Well, because, as you know, Hebrew is the sacred language of the Jewish people. Their common everyday language was a dialect of Hebrew called Aramaic, but the common language of the Roman Empire in which they lived was Greek. Thus, when the New Testament was written, it was written in Greek. And the Greek translation of Shavuot is Pentecost. Pentecost. 50 days, that is 7 weeks from Passover. As you all recall, while the Jewish people are celebrating Passover and recalling their own exodus from Egypt as they left slavery into freedom, established a covenant with God and were brought to the Holy Land, we as Christians are celebrating Holy Week. Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem at the beginning of Passover, as he was hailed as the Messiah. He was crucified, died, buried, and rose at the conclusion of the Passover season. So Holy Week and Passover coincide. And if you notice, this is 7 weeks, 50 days following the resurrection of Christ as we celebrate Pentecost. It was on that day, as Jews were in Jerusalem celebrating Shavuot, that the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, our Blessed Mother Mary, and the disciples of the Lord who had been in prayer. They were praying in the upper room where Jesus and the apostles had celebrated the Last Supper. And just as God gave the Torah to Moses on Mount Sinai with peals of thunder and flashes of lightning, so the Holy Spirit appeared with the sound of a rushing wind and the appearance of fire, fire that came to rest on the apostles' and early disciples' heads. At that moment, St. Peter, filled with zeal and courage, burst out on the balcony, and he began shouting out to the people who were gathered at King David's tomb. He told them to repent of their sins and to be baptized with the baptism of Jesus. Remember now, baptism is a sacrament that brings us into the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, a sacrament that replaced the old baptism of John the Baptist and replaced the Jewish purification baths. St. Peter boldly proclaimed that Jesus, whom these Jews had crucified, was indeed risen from the dead and alive, and that God made him both Lord and Savior. After the preaching of St. Peter, 3,000 people were converted and baptized, and thus the Church of Jesus Christ was born. And here we are, 2,000 years later. One beautiful thing that we see on the first day of Pentecost is that the four marks of the Church, one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic, were evident right there that day. The Church was one as they were gathered together in prayer, united in heart, mind, and soul, and were worshiping one God in one faith. It was holy in that the Church was founded by Jesus Christ himself and sanctified by the Holy Spirit. It was Catholic, the word that means universal, because as you noticed in the Acts of the Apostles, Jews came from all parts of the world and were there. And as the book of Revelation says, the Holy Spirit would call people from every language, every nation, every people, every culture. The entire world would come. Salvation came from the Jews, but is meant to be given to the entire world. And it's apostolic. Preached by the apostles, governed over by the apostles, and their successors, the bishops. We are of one heart, one faith, one mind, worshiping one God in one baptism, participating in one Eucharist. No more would a gift of bread be brought to the temple to thank God for the wheat harvest. Instead, we bring bread and wine to offer in thanksgiving for Christ's sacrifice. And in return, that bread and wine is changed into Christ's own resurrected flesh and blood to feed, unite his body, the Church on earth, in the Holy Eucharist. He unites us to himself and to one another. No more do we have to offer the seven first fruits of the land, as they did. No more pomegranates and olives and figs and so on. Instead, God fills you and me with seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of wisdom and understanding, the gifts of knowledge and counsel, the gifts of courage and devotion, fear and reverence of God, so that we can produce better fruit, spiritual fruit, the fruits of love, fruits of joy, peace, and patience, fruits of faithfulness, kindness, and gentleness, fruits of goodness, modesty, self-control, as St. Paul describes in his letter to the Galatians. And St. Paul says, we who live by the Spirit must follow the Spirit's lead. It is in the Spirit that we say that Jesus Christ is Lord. And for that reason, brothers and sisters, as we conclude the Easter season, we rejoice. We rejoice and we are glad because Christ has chosen us to be resurrected in his own Spirit. A new law has been written on our hearts. It's a law of love for God, a law of love for one another. The Jews of old worshiped at the tomb of a dead king, that is, King David. But you and I worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Son of David, Jesus himself, who died for our salvation, rose for our renewal, ascended into heaven to be our intercessor, and sends us the Holy Spirit to lead us into holiness and truth. And so on this day, we pray, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Amen. Alleluia.